this morning that you help us speak to our hearts, our minds. But Lord, I pray that you cleanse me. Lord, I don't want to be dirty in no way. And I ask you to clean my mind, that I don't assume nothing, that I don't think nothing foolish, and that I don't worry about my feelings. But Lord, that I worry about your feelings. And Lord, that I love your word, that I won't be offended in anything. And Father, I pray for every person that listens today on live stream, in person, those who will go back and watch and listen. Lord, we need you this morning. And Father, I'm thanking you for victory in Jesus Christ. But Father, right now we need you. Our homes need you. And Lord, unless our homes get where it needs to be, Lord, then our church will never be what it's supposed to be, nor will our country. God, I pray this morning for help. Touch me fresh of thy Holy Spirit as you see fit. Give me power as you direct this morning. And I'll thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, I ask all this and amen. Won't you listen this morning? Well, we all face battles. Everybody in here faces battles. Battles are not new. We face battles. That's life. Sometimes life stinks. Because we're stupid a lot of times, we make bad choices. Then we gotta live with what we choose. We say things, then we gotta live with what we said. We think things, and sometimes we're dumb as a rock, and that's just the way it is. We assume, most people assume far more than what they hear, far more than what's said, far more than what's told them, we assume. And it's the biggest danger that we can do. But we like that. And we're in a battle. We're in a battle here. I hope you understand we're in a battle here in this church. We're in a battle. And we've been in a battle for a while. And God gave me direction. He told me why. And he showed me some things. And I'm tickled to death. And if they ain't going to help nobody else, it's helped me. But I want you to listen. You're in a battle. You're part of this church. You're in a battle. Some of y'all are getting ready to be part of it. You've been a coming, but you signing your line today. You're signing your name on a dotted line today and said, I'm jumping into battle. Huh? Now, a lot of us has already done jumped into battle. Some needs to yet. You've been floating, hoboing around, and you need to go ahead and get in here and get into battle. It's what you need to go ahead and join the church and sink your feet down and go ahead and do what you're supposed to be doing, all right? And you that are coming, you need to be more faithful and hang in here and quit dilly-dallying with the world and go ahead and do right and live right. How about that? Are we okay so far? Now, if you love his word, you're not offended at anything I've already said. And if you are offended, you just need to repent because you don't love the Bible, okay? Because I'm not saying nothing to hurt you. But hear me very carefully this morning. Now, this is just getting up to the message, all right? Listen to me very carefully. COVID-19 wore us out. The church was had a great momentum going till we hit COVID-19. And when we hit COVID-19, we started facing battles that we didn't know. Now, the preacher preached revival told us that we lost our faith, and he was dead on the money. We started worrying about the world and everything else, and we lost faith in God, and it destroyed us. And while we were weak in the battle, our momentum was gone. I think I'm a history buff. I like Patton. I like World War II history, American history. I can see Patton going on, like in the Battle of the Bulge. He done went so far that he runned out of gas, and all these men were in danger because he went further than what they could keep him supplied, and he went ahead. I wonder sometimes if we didn't get ahead a little bit, but what we needed to do was realize that we could have done different and better in the middle of a battle. Is everybody still with me? You follow what I said? Now, when we have these battles and these things come, and the battles that we fought and the battles that we're fighting, we lost focus. All right, we lost focus, and we focused on things we should not have focused on. Let me tell you what we've been focusing on, and you'll say, "How's this got to do with the family?" I'll get to it here in just a minute. We started criticizing one another, and while we were sitting waiting to see what was going to happen, we started finding fault in one another, and we started then criticizing and assuming what this one thought and that one thought, what this one said, what this was going to do, and we got our focus off of what we were supposed to be doing. See, there was a time that our only focus was winning the lost and the church moving on. That was our focus. But then when we slowed down, we started looking at everything around us, and we started losing focus, and I started looking at you to see whether or not your shoelace was tied tight enough, and to see whether or not you was walking right, and I started judging you and watching you instead of doing what I'm supposed to be doing, and that's bringing people to Christ. Then I started finding fault in the church and finding fault in the services and finding fault in where we do this and where we spend the money and what we do. And if anybody knows anything about this church, we don't hoard money nor waste money. We try to help everybody. Hear me this morning. All right. But we lost focus. We lost focus. And the reason we lost focus is just simply because we got in a battle that we were not prepared for. We didn't listen. I've tried to prepare you for a battle before COVID come, and you didn't listen. I told you it was coming, and it was going to come from within, and you didn't listen. Okay? We can go back and watch. Now listen to me this morning. Now listen to me. You're going through things you never thought you'd go through. You're seeing that. You're feeling things. We're not happy. We're not happy. The reason we're not happy is because where our focus is at. Our focus is around us instead of what we're supposed to be doing. I'm supposed to be taking care of my family, making sure my family's saved, my grandkids are saved, and my neighbor's kids, and so on. I'm supposed to be winning people to Christ. That's supposed to be my focus as a church, as a pastor, as a Christian. That's supposed to be my focus. But we're fighting a battle. Do you realize, I told you Wednesday night that I was going to tell you something that might scare you, that because it's always going to be this way. Now, we know we got people that leave the church. They come to church, they quit church, they get saved, we never see them. We know that's always happened. Some people live because of sin. Some people live because they're evil. They leave because they're evil. They can't handle the preaching, and they're living in sin, and they can't stay. Well, I understand that. Some are unconverted church members. Some have just lost focus. Some get deceived. Some of y'all is getting ready to get deceived because you're contemplating moving on yourself. I know that. The Lord didn't show me that. He ain't giving me no vision. I just spent some time with Him, and last night He just showed me some things. But I'm going to be real plain this morning. You're in a battle. You ought to join it. I joined up for a battle. I reckon that's what I did. I joined up. And I'm in for the battle. Some of you military men. See, Steve's a Marine, and then Tom's an Air Force man. Gene Buck there is an Army man, and Richard's an Army man, and Rick Vance is an Army man, some of you others. What did you do when you joined up? First thing you done, you went to your commander and said, listen, now here's how we're going to do this. That's the first thing you done, wasn't it? You went to your commander and said, this is how we're going to do it. I'm going to wear my uniform the way I want to, and then we're going to march when I say, and we're going to do this. No, you didn't. You signed your name and shut up. Yeah. And then you done what was expected of you. You done what was expected of you. There was days that you whined and cried, and there was days you was glad. That's life. That's life in the church. We're okay so far. We come in, we join up, and we're supposed to do what's expected of us. So we need to do what's expected of us. What's expected of me? I'm expected to teach you, to preach to you, to pray. I'm expected to lead you. But if you ain't going to follow her, it ain't going to matter how good the leader is or how bad the leader is. You got to be willing to follow. All right? We're still okay. For one purpose. For freedom of others. Why did you guys join the service? For freedom of others. Listen, I joined for my freedom. I got free. I joined up now that I can tell freedom to everybody I see. Right? We okay? Listen to me. This is not for bragging rights, but I just done some study on our own church. Listen to me before I preach the message. Are you listening? Get your pencil and write this down. Get you a pencil and write this down in your Bible. I want you to know what you're a part of. The ministry of Mountain State Baptist Church. You're sitting here this morning at part of the ministry of Mountain State Baptist Church. You understand that? If you put a dime in a collection plate, if you come to the church, if you throw a gravel out of the hallway or put it back out in the parking lot, if you help a kid, it don't matter what you do. Cook a meal. Don't do nothing if you just come and sit down or if you just wave at the church when you go by. If you're part of the ministry of the church, so everything that goes on in this church, you're a part of. Is everybody okay? Amen. Listen to me. In the past 8.5 years, for all the ministry of this church, including Boyd's 2 trips to Burma and Kenya, 1 trip to Kenya, all the tent ministry, all the jail ministry, all of the youth camps, everything here. Are you listening? Over 2,351 people have professed faith in Christ in 8.5 years. Over 2,351 people. You think you're not going to have a battle? You think your bed's not going to be hard? You think your life ain't going to tighten up a little bit? Did you heard what I said? Yes. Is that not ridiculous? We've sent money to Burma. We've sent money to Kenya. And you say, well, where are they all at? Well, a lot of them are in Burma, a lot of them are in Kenya. But not all of them. Some of them are sitting right here. Over 311 in a little country church in Somerville, West Virginia, I have baptized over 311 people in 8.5 years. You might have a bad day one day. You might have a little bit of adversity. You might get a little aggravated at people. You might assume some things. You might be deceived about some things. You might get slick if you're not careful. Yeah. Right. I mean, trying to find out what's wrong. What's wrong with everything? And I believe God showed me. It's because we've lost focus. We've lost focus in what God's doing and how God's using this church and everybody in it. And instead of getting in here and going wide open, we want to abandon ship. Hear me today. We got new ones joining. And us old ones need to get in there and help them. Huh? And we're going to let God sort some things out. And do our best to teach and preach. And get our focus back on winning our people. Been going over looking at records. And he said, everything's bad. Can I tell you, the past 3 years, our attendance is about the same. Yeah. Since COVID. Yeah. Even though we've lost and gained. Our finances are even better. In fact, they went up near 30% during COVID. It don't make sense at all. Now, I'm telling you all that to tell you that there's some things we're going to have to knuckle under and do. And it's going to have to start down my house. Now, 145 Deets Road, Mount Lookout, West Virginia, and it needs to go back and tighten up down at your house so it can tighten up down here at this house at 807 West Webster Road that we can go on in the army for the Lord and see people come to Christ. It's a time we stop burying our feelings, quit having our feelings on our short shirt sleeves. And every time somebody rubs us wrong or the wind blows, that our feelings get hurt. Right. And we just go ahead and endure the hardness as a good soldier. Amen. And get our families lined out and get our families saved. Amen. I'm concerned about your families because they're going to hell. Right. Some of my family's going to hell. They're going to hell under false pretense of church membership, and they're lost. Some of your family's going to hell under the false pretense of church membership. Hear me. If they ain't been to church in 35 years, they're lost. They're lost. Start praying for them that they're lost. Start standing and asking us to pray for your family. Start standing and say, pray for my son. Pray for my daughter. They're lost. Amen. They're lost. Amen. Let's swallow some pride and get in line and do what we're supposed to do. There's four kinds of homes we want to look at this morning. There's only two that I encourage you about. Genesis chapter 18, we still okay. I want to show you, I'm in a battle. I laid here last night on this altar, and God showed me, Mark, you're just in a battle. Just get up and fight. I said, well, I know how to do that. I know how to do that. I know how to do that. Am I able as I used to be? No, but I ain't forgot how. I still know how. And I'm trying to teach you how. And some of y'all ain't forgot how. You're tired. You're discouraged. Listen, I've been preaching hard messages here lately. But if you ain't guilty, it shouldn't ever bother you. If it don't bother you, you ought to stand up and say, that's right, preacher, preach. But we're quiet because I'm hitting the nail on the head. But I know because I can't amen some of it either. And I'm preaching. We okay? We still okay? Now if you'll give me just a couple quick minutes and hang with me, we'll look at some scripture. Now I'm not discouraged this morning. I'm encouraged this morning. Huh? I'm not discouraged. I'm ready for battle. Huh? Huh? Now I ain't carrying. I had a man visit me a couple hours while back, and he said, you need to be carrying. I said, no, I don't. I don't need to be carrying. It would not be good for others if I carry. But hear me. We're in a battle. Man, this is our watering hole. Huh? This is the mess line. Huh? Before I come over here last night, I flipped on the TV and Sergeant York was on there. And I got to watch the line. I reckon that helped me with my battle mind. And I was watching Sergeant York on the TV there. And I was just thinking. They called for, the bugle guy called for to eat. And the one they called Pusher said, that is one bugle call that I'll never get mixed up. And they runned out the door to go eat. I said, tomorrow's Sunday. Yeah. Blow the bugle. Yeah. Amen. Let's assemble and eat. Amen. Huh? Amen. You know the most aggravating thing for a cook is to have it ready and everybody gall it lollygag around and not come and eat. Amen. Most aggravating thing at all. Huh? Time to eat. Youth camp's coming. One of the biggest joys, ain't it, Tom? We want to say, who's going to go ring the bell so we can all gather, line up, and eat? Yeah. Huh? This is where you eat at. Yes, you ought to walk through the door ready to eat. Amen. Yeah, yeah. Nah. Maybe we'll see what we can find here this morning. Genesis chapter 18. When we think about homes, there's four kinds of homes that we'll look at this morning. One, the first one this morning is a faithful home. I'm not telling you have one or you don't have one. You're going to have to make that decision. But I find an example here in the Word of God in Genesis chapter 18. And we find the story of Abraham. Now, God's getting ready to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And before he done it, he visited Abraham. Now, I don't know about y'all, but if the Lord thought it good to come and visit me before he done something, I'd have think, well, I must be in pretty good terms with him. If he would discuss with me anything, huh? What he ought to do is just destroy me without everybody else. All right? But let's look here at Genesis chapter 18 and look at verse 17. Can we start there? It says, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed of him. for I know him. Look what he said. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. That's a pretty good testimony, because I know him and I know that he's going to take care of his family and his household, and they're going to follow me. That's pretty good when the God of heaven has that compliment to say about a man in his home. Huh? Now, I'm just going to ask, do you have a faithful home? Abraham believed God. You know that. We have that in Romans. Paul said that Abraham believed God. It was counted to him for righteous, right? You still with me? In a hard time. This was a hard time. How would y'all like to live in a tent in the middle of the desert? I wouldn't want that. No running water, no bathroom. No McDonald's, no Wendy. Huh? Hard times. No refrigerator. No freezer. Hard times. Pick up a tent, move it over there, set it down. Graze a little bit, pick up a tent, go over there, set it down. Graze a little bit, move over there. That's what he done. Right? Hard times. It would have been nothing for 140,000 to come by and just kill them all. Living in fear, never know what's going to happen. That was a lifetime then, right? We okay? But he followed God. He had a faith in God. But wait a minute, he didn't have no church to go to. He didn't have no church. He didn't have no written word. Well, wait a minute, we got a church and we got a written word. Okay? We still okay? Right? He had no pastor. He had no abiding Holy Spirit. Yet he walked with God. He followed God. He paid tithes of all he owned. He didn't have no church, but the Lord sent him somebody to pay him to. Imagine that. I'm just wanting you to understand he had a faithful home. I'm not preaching on money. You know I never do that. We okay? But look what, he didn't have none of that. But he prayed to God. He was faithful. He was faithful. He was so faithful that God came by and said, let's talk a little bit. I'm getting ready to store Sodom. What do you think? What do you think? Abraham said, you wouldn't do the phase 10 down there, would you? Yeah. Phase 10 under righteous, you wouldn't do that, would you? Huh? I mean, he begged him down to 10. Right. And finally, the Lord said, well, all right. If I find 10, I won't kill none. Has the Lord ever come to you and said, how about, and you said, well, how about my family? How about my family, Lord? Kill the rest of them, but how about my family? How about my 10? I'm just talking about Abraham was faithful. He didn't have what we have. He didn't have a church. He didn't have a pastor. He didn't have a written word. He didn't have an abiding Holy Spirit. But he was faithful to God. Why? Because he was faithful to God. He believed God. It was counted to him for righteousness. He believed God. I'm telling you this morning that we can do better than we're doing if we'll just go ahead and have faith in God. Huh? Is that all right? But just stick right there. We'll look in chapter 19 and we'll find not just a faithful home. How about a compromising home? How about a compromising home? Now, he's been called a backslider. I think he's just a big compromiser. What he is. His name's Lot. All right? He just simply ignored the danger. That's what Lot did. He ignored the danger. Can I say that again? He ignored the danger. Can I tell you, we're living right now in a time where God's people are ignoring the danger. You're ignoring the danger down at your house. You're ignoring the danger at the church house. You're ignoring the danger in our country. I went to the store yesterday and bought a can of cream, that canned milk. I'd picked blackberries and I wanted canned milk and sugar from a blackberries. I had to pay $2 for a can of carnation canned milk. That's stupid. It's stupid they ask it. It's even stupider that I paid it. But we're ignoring the danger. Like it or not, we keep voting this outfit in. And we're going to have to, we ain't going to be able to afford our own cow. Let alone, they say, well, get your own cow. We ain't going to be able to afford it. Huh? We're ignoring the danger. Huh? And that's just the way it is. I'm not a liberal. I'm a conservative. Just want everybody to know. And I'm going to tell you I'm a Republican. The Bible says Republicans are sinners. You figure it out. Everybody can just think what they want. I'm fighting. I'm in a battle. I'm ready to charge. I suggest you don't get in front. All right? Well, how did he compromise? Well, how do I know that he was a compromiser? Well, to start with, he was a saved man. Can we go over it real quick? Y'all still with me? Amen. Talking about Lot, compromiser. Chapter 2, 2 Peter chapter 2. Let's look at verse 7. And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. He was a righteous man. It bothered him, but he ignored it to where he never changed nothing. It bothered him. It vexed him. This ain't right. How many of us downtown, it ain't right, but I can't say nothing to the woman because she wears the riches. Huh? That's how come a lot of our homes ain't, because the men's wearing the dress and the women's wearing the breeches. True. Like it or not. When you get out of order down at the house, everything's out of order. That's why you have to worry about a woman vice president, because she ain't going to have been as bitter anyway. Just thought I'd tell you. We're talking about Lot. We're talking about compromisers. Compromisers. Huh? Y'all realize y'all getting in all this. Y'all didn't know if y'all was getting in this deep or not, did you? Genesis chapter 19. Let's look at Genesis chapter 19. We still okay? Let me show you how much he compromised. The two angels come down to tell Lot they need to get out. They come down. Lot says, come to my house. He didn't want them getting messed up because he knew that the Sodomites and Sodom was going to, they said, bring them out that we may know them. That's how wicked they were. Let me show you how far and see if it's not ringing a bell. How far that Lot compromised. He said, how about if I give you my two daughters? All right, look at verse 8. Behold, now I have two daughters, which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. Here's what he said. He said, I don't have no problem with fornication, but I'm going to stand against lesbians and sodomites. But fornication's okay. Did you hear what I said?
Yeah.
Go ahead and fornicate with my daughters, but don't commit sodomy. See, we're again one, but we'll go ahead and turn our back on the other. That's where we've compromised.
Yeah.
Right there. It's right there. Huh? I'm talking about Christian people. Hey, Christian, but look at me. Quit fornicating. Quit it.
Amen.
Quit it.
Amen.
It's wrong.
Amen.
It's sin.
Yes.
But Lot compromised. He said, I'm standing against the sodomy, but go ahead and take my virgin girls. Be with what you want. Verse 14. And Lot went out and spake unto his son-in-law, and to his sons-in-law, plural, which married his daughters and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his son-in-law. He had done compromise where he had no influence. You know why we have trouble in our homes? We've done compromise so much we don't have no influence on them. We don't have no influence on our own children, on our own in-laws, moms and dads. We've compromised unto where we have no influence. Well, I hate to tell them no. Why? No ain't going to hurt them. I'm just reading what the Bible says here. Verse 16 says, and while he lingered, we're getting ready to destroy the city. Wait, you got a minute? We're getting ready to kill everybody in here. Well, give me a minute. Give me a minute. Is that dumb or what? Just slow down, guys. Slow down, guys. No, it's already getting dark. We're getting ready to burn the cities of the plain. Not one city, but several of them. He said, hold on a minute. I got to make sure my shoes are tied. And make sure I got the lights turned off and make sure the water to come out ain't hung. Now, I'm not being sarcastic. I'm just telling you he lingered. Why would he linger? You know? Listen, if two angels from heaven come to Mount Lookout at my house and tell me we're getting restored, I'm going to, where do I ride? I don't want nothing. I'm out of there. Don't know about y'all. Tell Cheryl, you better hurry, girl. I'm getting on the wagon. Drop down verse 26. See, it's not just the man. Look at the woman. But his wife looked back from behind him and she became a pillar of salt because her heart was still inside him. There's a home that compromised. It wasn't just one of them. It was both of them. And I'm telling you, that's what we have today. Oh, I would to God that I had the faithful home like Abraham. But how many times have I had the compromising home like Lot? But I remember when I had the lost home. How about 1 Kings? 1 Kings chapter 22. 1 Kings chapter 22, I believe. Might be 2 Kings. I can't read my writing. 1 Kings chapter 22. That ain't right. 1 Kings chapter 16. Got ahead of myself. Everybody still with me? 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 30. It says, and Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. That's not a good testimony, there is. Because I just read about, let me tell you, he was in a race with his daddy. Because if I look down in verse 25, it says, but Omri wrought evil in the eyes of the Lord and did worse than all that were before him. And it got worse with his boy. All right? And that ain't all. Look what he did, went up and done. And verse 31 says, and it came to pass as if he had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took the wife Jezebel. It wasn't just bad that he'd done everything bad. He went and took him a wicked woman. Yeah. That he took the wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zeodians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. I just want you to know, he's a pretty rough guy. He was against God. He had a lost home. Can I tell you this morning that if you're not saved, then you're against God. If you're not saved, you're against God. And Ahab is your example. Because everything you do will be against the Lord. Everything. Think about that. It don't matter if you're good to kids or good to women or give a little money to charity. If you're not saved, you're against God. All right? Now, and there's only one thing going to happen, and that's judgment to what's going to happen to you. Ahab was so mean that the prophet come to him and said, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. Those are going to lick your blood. Well, after a while, turn to 1 Kings chapter 22. Look at verse 37. It says, so the king died and was brought to Samaria, and they buried the king in Samaria, and one washed the chariot in the pool of Samaria, and the dogs licked up his blood. And they washed his armor according to the word of the Lord, which he spake. You know what happened? Judgment came, just like he said. Ahab went again. God was again God. The prophet said, you keep on. It's going to be bad for you. Keep on, keep on. And the dogs will lick your blood. Ahab got killed. And guess what happened? Dogs licked his blood. Well, Jezebel jumped up there and said, well, then I'll do this and I'll do that. And he said, go ahead. But let me tell you, the dogs will eat you. They licked your husband's blood, but they just going to eat you. Huh? That's pretty bad. Huh? 2 Kings chapter 9, verse 30. You still with me? And when Jehu was come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it. And she painted her face and tired her head. I reckon that's one of them beehive hairdos, I don't know. She painted her face, tired her head, and looked out of the window. And as Jehu entered in at the gate, she said, had Zimri peace? Who slew his master? And he lifted up his face to the window and said, who's on my side? Who? And there looked out to him two or three eunuchs. And he said, throw her down. So they threw her down, and some of her blood was sprinkled on the wall. That means she hit up against the wall. You can see that, can't you? You picture it throwing out a stone wall, beating her head on the side as she goes down. And blood was sprinkled on the wall and on the horses, and he trod her underfoot. He runned over. Look at that. And when he was come in, he did eat and drink. He said, go see now this cursed woman and bury her, for she is the king's daughter. And they went to bury her, but they found no more of her than the skull and the feet and the palms of her hand. Huh? Wherefore they came again and told him, and he said, this is the word of the Lord, which he spake by his servant Elijah to Tisbite, saying, in the portion of Jezreel shall dogs eat the flesh of Jezebel. Can I just tell you, judgment comes. That's a lost home. Judgment's going to come. Huh? The reason I smiled there a while ago, I thought of an old story about Moses being called to preach, and he gave his ordination. He was talking about Jezebel, and he had all the Bible all mixed up. And he said, when he said, throw her down, he said, throw her down seven times. He got her mixed up with Naaman being baptized. And I just come through my mind. All right. And, but nevertheless, judgment. We okay? See, if you're lost this morning, your home's lost. You understand it's the judgment of God. The Bible says that God gave Jezebel space to repent. Nobody is just condemned and forgotten. But there's space to repent. And this morning you're here, and if you're lost, you have space to repent. But can I tell you, you're going to have a faithful home or a compromising home, or you may have a lost home. Now, if you got a compromising home or a lost home, then I recommend you get your house in order. If you got a faithful home, thank God. Thank God that he's letting you have a faithful home in a wicked generation. Huh? Let's look at one more home and we'll quit. Look at Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. See, we looked at Abraham. He had a faithful home. We looked at Lot. We see a compromising home. We looked at Ahab and Jezebel, and we see a lost home. But now I see a changing home. A changing home. And if there's anything we need, is a changing home this morning. We need a changing home. Look in Acts chapter 16, start at verse 25. And at midnight, let's back up. Can we back up for a moment? I'm doing it again, Nancy. Yeah. Verse 22, back up to 22. It says, and a multitude rose up together against them, speaking of Paul and Silas. And the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. That's the jailer. That's the jailer. He didn't care that them preachers was getting beat and being stripped of their clothes and beat. He didn't care. He put them down in the inner prison and he made sure they was chained and stocked. He made sure they was in tied up tight now. Verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's band were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light, sprang in, came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and the house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. And there I find an account of a changing house, a changing home. Here I find the jailer just doing what everybody does every day, just went and done his job. His job was a jailer. From all that we understand, and it was the jailer's job to beat him. The magistrates arrested him, said, go beat him. He beat him. Then he threw them in the inner jail, down in the dungeon, put their feet and their hands in stocks, got them all tied up. And then something happened. Just an everyday life. Just an everyday life of work, providing for his family, but not having Christ. That's the majority of people today. They work, they provide for their family, go home of evening, everything's fine, do what they're supposed to do, but without Christ. But something happened. Something happened and heaven come down where they was. And when heaven come down and things got shook up, that the jailer cries, what must I do to be saved? And they simply told him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And something happened. He started having a changed home. He got changed in his heart. Dads and moms, you're going to have to get changed in your heart this morning. You're going to have to cry out, what must I do to be saved? You're going to have to humble yourself and kneel down. You're going to have to be the one that cries out. Huh? And then when you do, oh, what a change takes place. Yes. Hey, come home. Come home, Paul and Silas. Come home with me. He didn't care whether they were going to kill him or not. The doors was already open. He said, y'all might as well come on the house for supper. Huh? He wouldn't have never had him in his home. But something happened inside his heart. When he got down to the house, he said, tell the woman. I can just see that, can't you? Tell the woman. To me, that looks like the kind of guy he would just tell the woman. She'll do it. Just tell the woman. and their house. And they opened up the Word of God. They give them the Word. They opened up their hearts, give them the Word of the Lord. Huh? And Miss Jailer got saved. And as I told you, I always enjoy saying that. The jailer got saved, Miss Jailer got saved, and all the little jailers got saved. It tickles me to be able to say that. Because that's what happened. The whole family got saved. Huh? We okay? Man, I love it when I see a dad get saved. Because it ain't long. It ain't long when old dad gets saved that mom and the kids follow. Now, when mom gets saved, old dad might hold back a while. But buddy, when dad gets saved, then mom and the kids, they follow. They follow. They do. They're changing. Look what they did. Verse 34, and when they had brought them into his house, he set meat before them. Look at the next two words. And rejoiced. They were happy. Hey, pass me the biscuits. I'm saved now. Pass me the biscuits, saved wife. Pass me the gravy. Oh, first time a saved man ever ate gravy at this table. You remember the first time it was different at your house? You remember when it was different? When you sat down for the first time and ate a meal and said, man, I need to pray. What'd I say? Thank you. That's all you could say. But it was different before. You never even thought about it. But the change, do you not remember? Do you not remember the change? Do you not remember the joy? You didn't know the doctrine of justification. You didn't know where heaven was. You didn't know nothing about the inspiration of the Scripture. All you know that you were lost and now you're saved. That's all that you knew. And at that time, that's all you cared about. Oh, I would to God we'd go back to that and remember when we got saved and just go ahead and enjoy it all over again. Huh? Huh? Do you remember dumping out the liquor when you went home? Do you remember cleaning out the refrigerator? Do you remember doing all that and going and throwing certain tapes away out of your car? I'm old. That's when we used to have tapes in the car. You remember? Could I get a witness anywhere this morning? Could I get a witness? But what happened down at the house? I'm going to tell you this. I've told you before, I just want to tell you again. I love the example. I love the example of my heritage. All the examples of my heritage is not good, but I'll give you a good example of this. When my papa Bill was lost, he worked in the mines, of course, and his daddy had died young, just when he was a young man. Papa took Grandma in the house and cared for Grandma. So he worked and took care of Grandma and Mama and Daddy and Kenny. Kenny and Daddy, in that order. As before Naomi and Holly Ray. He wasn't saved. And he was bad to drink on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Play music, drink, square dance. Play for square dances, him and Dobie Cart, Chick Cart's brother, and they'd fiddle and play the guitar and play for square dances, and that was just their life. That was their life. Well, one sunny afternoon, Papa went by the cabin there in Smokeless Holler, there across where we mom and him live now, up Holler. And they was having a college prayer meeting on the sunny afternoon. Papa didn't want to go in because he said he didn't belong in there. They was good folks in there. He didn't belong in there. But Grandma, somebody told him, I reckon Papa's out there. She said, come in, Willie, sing me a song. He went in and sung a song. for Grandma, but I've gone the last mile of the way. That's what he sung. Old song. And after he got done singing it, he was getting ready to leave, and Grandma said, "Now wait a minute now, before you go, we've got to have prayer." So they knelt down there in that old dirt floor cabin. And when Grandma prayed, the jail was shaken. And the stocks were loosed. And my papa cried out, "What must I do to be saved?" Hey. And they rejoiced. And the old churches, the one thing I don't like about our church, we don't have a church bell. But anyway, they always used to ring the bell early, an hour early. Still too, to this day, I reckon, Mount Lookout, Monona, they always ring the bell an hour early. That's where people would start walking to go to church. That was the time. They heard the first bell and they start walking, and then when they got there, they ring the second bell and started. The bell rung. And I think of this, and this is so fitting for us this morning. Listen to me. Cheryl, you go on the piano. Popo stood there like many of us have stood. He stood there with the soles out of his shoes and the knees out of his bibbed overall. But because of the change that had been made inside that little house, there was a longing in here to go to church. And he said he stood there in the yard as that church bell rang and wept. He said, "They won't want me. Because all the liquor I've drank and all the things I've done, they won't want me." But there was something that he couldn't get past, and that was that burning down in his heart to go to the house of God. So he said that he got a diaper, a couple diapers, cloth diapers, put them in his pocket, and a mustard jar with the nipple stretched over it full of milk, stuck it in his pocket and said, "Come on, Frida, we're going to church." They walked down the holler down to Keeney's Creek Baptist Church. One of them. He said he was ashamed. He said, "They ain't going to want me, but I got to go try." And they seen Papa and Mama walking up a parking lot there, walking up a road. Said the church emptied out and run to him. Said, "Oh, Bill, we've prayed for you and we've prayed for you. That changed my Papa's home, but that changed all the way down to my home now. And I just can't help it. When it's time for church, I got to go. Because of the change that was made in me, May the 27th, 1973. And though I've strayed, and though I've been all over the rock, and though I've failed, there's a burning in my heart when it comes time for church to be with God's people. And I long to be here because I've had a changed home. A changed home. Afraid that some of y'all might have a home, but you don't have a changed home." You don't have that changed home. Because that desire ain't there for the Lord. That burning ain't there. Used to be for some of you, but it's grown cold because you've lost your focus. Now you got to decide whether to come. "Oh, don't want to go again. So. It don't matter who comes. It don't matter who don't come. I'm going to come whether any of you come or not. And when 10 o'clock comes, I'm going to sit right there. And she'll play and nothing else. She'll sing. Not one word has changed. And if ain't nobody in here to listen, I'm going to stand up in this pulpit and I'm going to preach. And I'll preach till the padding comes off the pews and the varnish is off the nails, and I'll still preach that you must be born again. That you're going to have to be saved, and you're going to have to do right, and the church mice will get saved, and they'll come to the altar and eat their cheese for communion. But I'm telling you, I'm not going to quit. And your home this morning is important. Your home is necessary. We need a faithful home. We need a faithful home. We don't need no more compromising homes. And oh, if you got a lost home, there's room at the cross for you this morning. You can be saved today if you'll repent of your sins and trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Place your faith in Him. Oh, this morning, it feels good inside, Father. Thank you for blessing. Thank you for helping me this morning. Thank you for victory. Oh, God, thank you for all that you are and all that you do. Speak now, oh God. Speak to hearts, I pray, that we might search ourselves and have the faithful home that we ought to have. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's